Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I'm Philip Howard, the chairman of the Save the David Lean Cinema campaign. Thank you very much for joining us tonight for what's a very special evening. There are two reasons, really, to have a cinema like the David Lean. One is for the atmosphere, which, as you know, is quite different to a big screen, a multiplex cinema. And the other one is essentially the films. We have the opportunity to put on films here and events that are quite different to what you get in most cinemas. And at one of our events this autumn, just gone, of course, we presented David Lean's A Passage to India. And on that occasion, I was delighted to be introduced to Sir Sidney Samuelson, who is a former chairman of BAFTA, a major figure behind the scenes in the British film industry with a film services company, first British film commissioner, and and his career history could go on for a considerable period of time. And Sir Sidney told us about a film that he had made by his father's studio in the 1920s. And would we be interested in showing a restored copy of this film? Well, we've shown a few silent films in the past, partly because I'm quite an aficionado, so we were absolutely delighted to take Sidney up on his offer, and that's why we've organised this evening today. I'll introduce Sidney in a moment. You can see him here, a demonstration of a close, professional and personal friendship with David Lean himself. Just to give you a brief view of how the evening is going to go, so we'll have a word from Sidney in a moment. Then, just to warm us up, we've got a Laurel and Hardy silent short film, Big Business. Then there will be a short film of the Wharton Hall Studio that Sidney's father, G.B. Samuelson, founded. And Sidney may provide some comments on that. And then we will go into the main feature, the restored film, A Couple of Down and Outs. After that, Sidney will be with us for a Q&A, and we can talk more about the film then. So I'll hand over now to Sir Sidney Samuelson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really delighted to be here because although I can't say that Croydon is somewhere that I know very well, but I was explaining earlier this evening that I used to come here twice a day, but I never got off the train, which was coming up from Brighton to Victoria, and I was on my way to Shepherd's Bush, where there was a studio, and I was a very young assistant travelling up every day. This was during the very beginning of the war. And David Lean meant a great deal, not just to me, because he was one of my best customers when I had a major camera rental organisation. And I know if any of the sharp-witted production people, when they were planning a new David Lean film, if they said, David Lean would maybe saying, well, I know my cameraman would want to get the equipment from Samuelson's, and the production finance man might say, yes, but we can get a much cheaper deal from somewhere else. And David Lean would say, oh, you're the accountant, and you're going to choose the equipment, are you? You're going to be responsible for what the picture looks like on the screen. You're taking that over, are you? And there was never any question of it. And when you had a cameraman or cameramen like that marvellous producer and director and writer and editor, he called the shots, and he didn't compromise. And I've said a million times, our company, if you come to us for the equipment, we're never the cheapest. We're just the best people to have behind you when you're doing the tricky business of shooting a movie. I'm privileged to be able to say that David and I were really good friends on a private basis, in so much as I was never his employee. That meant I didn't have to agree with him all the time. David Lean didn't take to people who didn't agree. That wasn't something he could easily do. And I'm very kind of touched by that photograph, which was taken at Hampton Court when the American Academy gathered together every British person, front of camera and behind the camera, who had ever won an Oscar. I had never won an Oscar, but because at that time I was chairman of BAFTA's council, I was invited as a guest. And if somebody's not sure why David Lean has his arm through mine, I always say it's because he got some touchy thing to discuss with me about, he was thinking of changing one of his technicians or something like that, and would I be able to help him find someone else? The kind of thing that I wasn't too keen to be involved with, because although he may decide he didn't want to use that editor or camera operator or whatever again, I was going to still be working with them off and on all the time. And so I say that's when he wanted to ask me about something difficult, tricky, he put his arm through mine so I couldn't get away. That was the only reason for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, and we're going to talk about my father, who came, he was born in this country, in Southport, Lancashire. His parents, my grandparents, who I never knew, they were immigrants here, round about the 1860s, as far as we can work out, where if you were a Jewish family, it wasn't good for you to be in Tsarist Russia. And if you could get out, even if you had to walk to the nearest port, whether it was in Germany or anywhere else, that's what you did. My grandfather was, he arrived in Southport, Lancashire. Don't know why he was in Southport, Lancashire, is where you went on holiday, but I think that he may have been trying to get to Liverpool and get over to what was called the New World, the United States, and maybe he ran out of money or whatever it was. Anyway, he eventually set up in business in Southport. He married, and my father was the fourth of his children. And when the cinema was just about starting, and my father was born in 1889, the first moving images ever shown in this country were about 1896, I think, at the old Polytechnic Technical College in Upper Regent Street. There's obviously a learned gentleman on these things. He's nodding his head up and down, so I know if I get something wrong, he says, no, it wasn't like that at all. And when Southport had no cinema or anything like that, my father thought this business of moving pictures, it may get somewhere. And so he rented a projector, of course, hand cranked. I think the projectionist came with projector. And he rented, or bought, as you had to in those days, a program of films, like a first feature and a cowboy film and maybe a cartoon and something actuality local to the northwest of our country. And then when nobody wanted to come to the church hall in Southport, because they'd all seen that program, then you had to sell the program to a smaller town down the road and buy another program and start all over again with a new set of attractive movies for the local cinema-going people. Eventually, my grandmother said to my grandmother seems to have been something like a mentor to my father. And when he had changed from buying and selling programs to making programs available a week at a time on rental, the idea caught on. Allegedly, he was the first person in this country to rent films to exhibitors rather than to sell them to them. And that went very well, and it is alleged that my grandmother, who didn't speak English, she came originally from Poland, she said, we're sending our film programs all over the country, but as far as I know, we're not in the middle of the country, we're in one corner. And legend has it that somebody unfolded a map of England on the dining room table, and this lady put her finger in the dark area of the map in the middle of the country and said, isn't that where we should be? In the middle of the country, we're sending our programs all over the country. And that's why the family moved to Birmingham. It became very successful, but there was a shortage of product. And my father then thought, I'm going to have to make films to supply my rental organization. That's how he got into production. And I'll talk a little bit more about the studio, the site that he bought after we'd watched Laurel and Hardy.